The Adventures of PC 49 by Alan Stranz, being another incident in the career of Police Constable Archibald Barclay Willoughby, with Brian Reese, Joy Shelton, Leslie Perrins, and Eric Phillips. This week's adventure, the case of the perfect fiddle.
For Pete's sake, 49, will you shut up and let a fella get some sleep?
Oh, what the dickens is this place supposed to be? A section house for unmarried policemen or a blasted zoo? Pack it in, will you, Barclay Willoughby, or Villa Meal, get up and do your proper.
What's got into 49 anyway?
Yeah, he heard a record of Heifetz or Kreisler or someone and decided to take up the fiddle.
Then he'd better decide to put it down again. Lively. Listen, Nero, Tom and I have just come off 12 hours straight duty.
Yeah, if you don't chuck it and let us get a bit of shut-eye...
We'll bend that screech box right round your lug holes.
I'll make him listen. Reach down and get your boots, Bill.
Okay, I'm loaded. Got yours?
Yeah, wait till I give the word. Right, let him have it.
Boy, steady, you clots. Mind my violin.
I'll shove the blooming thing down your throat if you start that infernal noise again.
What chance have I got of becoming a proficient violinist if I have no place to practice?
Now, I've got the perfect place for you to practice, pal.
Oh, have you, Bill? Where?
In the middle of the blasted Sahara Desert. Now go away and let respectable policemen sleep.
And take that instrument of torture with you.
You're nasty common slops, that's all you are.
Get out of here, you...
Okay, I'm going. I'll go down and practice in the common room. No culture, no appreciation. That's the trouble.
I'm sure there's something in my flat.
What sort of a thing, Miss Carr?
Oh, something uncanny, making a horrid, low moaning sound like a...
Like a what?
Well, a banshee.
Oh, well, we'll soon see. Come on.
I just come home from the office and got my key out to open my door when... Listen, there it is again.
It's a cat. You must have left your windows open.
I'm sure I didn't. Here's the key.
I got me pass key, thanks. What the blazes is it?
Ah, hello, Joan.
Archie, what on earth are you doing with that violin?
Practicing, darling. I tried down the flophouse, but they threw boots at me. Then I tried in the common room, and they threw cups of tea over me. So then I came here, just as well I had your spare key. Now, I've almost got this exercise right. Listen.
Oh, no, not again.
Shall I throw something at you, Miss?
No, thanks, Porter. Sorry you've been troubled.
Okay, Miss Carr, but if you need me, just shout.
I will.
Now, you listen to this bit, Joan.
Archie, stop that din at once.
Ah, now don't say you're going to turn on me, Joan.
Listen, my pet, I've been in love with you for over 3 years now.
As long as that. It seems only yesterday since...
Three long years of murder, robbery, blackmail, arson, kidnapping, larceny and what have you. But this is one crime I will not stand for.
Crime? I don't follow.
You will, Paganini. Now get this straight. No more fiddling.
But, Joan, if only you'd give me a chance to explain.
Okay, you've got 1 minute. You better make the best of it.
Well, this violin was the property of Fiddler Patchett.
Who's Fiddler Patchett?
He's a busker who does a bit of pocket picking as a sideline.
Well?
Well, this Fiddler Patchett fell foul of Birdie Snipe.
Not another fiddler.
Birdie's a fiddler, but not a violinist. If you get what I mean.
I get it. Go on.
Well, Birdie Snipe was recently charged with breaking and entering the home of Lord Falconbridge and stealing the Melton manuscript.
Oh, I read about the Melton manuscript. That's the priceless parchment.
Papyrus.
All right, papyrus. It's the one they found in Carmen Ra's tomb in Egypt, isn't it?
That's the one. It's said to be the first authentic record of Cleopatra's life story.
Hence the pyramids. But why the fiddle?
I'm trying to explain, darling. This Birdie Snipe was charged with pinching the Melton manuscript. But while he was out on bail awaiting his trial, he laid information that Fiddler Patchett had picked his pocket at the dog races. We picked up the fiddler that night and found Birdie Snipe's wallet on him. So Fiddler went away to Parkhurst for a year's vacation.
When do we get to the fiddle? This fiddle?
We're coming to it now. You see, Mrs. Patchett...
The fiddler's wife?
That's her. Well, Mrs. Patchett has 3 kids. Fiddler left her a bit on the short side of what it takes to buy rations for 3 children, so I...
Bought Fiddler's violin from her, eh?
Only for a fiver, Joan. But you really needed the money. Fiddler can buy it back when he comes out. But in the meantime, I thought...
You thought what?
Well, I heard a wonderful record on the wireless. Max Carousel playing. So I thought, here's the chance to give Joan a big surprise.
And you certainly did that. When I came to that door, I thought that...
No. I am at the police concert. It's only 2 weeks away, and if I practice really hard...
Not here, you won't.
Oh, Joan.
I like this place. Flats aren't easy to get. And if you start that devilish din again, I'll be asked to leave.
Okay, okay. You're all against me. It's a plot. But I'll show you. I'll show the whole blinking pack of you. Just you wait and see.
Morning, Pritchard.
Morning, Rog. Anything new?
One of our boys picked up Birdie's snipe again last night.
Good. What's the charge this time?
Receiving. Had several items of jewelry in his possession which appear on a list of stolen property. He says he found them and was on the way here to pass them over when he was picked up.
Yes, he can tell that to the magistrate.
He's a slippery customer. He beat his hands down on that Melton manuscript case.
Nevertheless, he was guilty.
He hadn't got the manuscript on him when we nabbed him.
So his KC was at pains to point out. Birdie snipe with a KC. And who paid Sir Charles Penrose to defend him? Will you tell me that?
Probably the collector who put him up to the job of pinching the manuscript.
Well, let's go down to the cells and see what sort of a song Mr. Birdie Snipes decided to sing this morning. Come on.
I'd give a month's pay to fit him on that manuscript, George.
Save your money. As you say, the confounded document's probably in the hands of some crooked collector by now.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Sergeant.
Hello there, Constable.
Morning, Taylor. Where have you got Birdie Snipe?
Cell number 7, sir. He's been carrying on something awful. Such language.
What about?
Well, he'll probably tell you about that himself, Sarge.
7, here we are. Open up, Constable. Now then, Snipe, what have you got to say for yourself this time?
Don't come that high-ended stuff with me, Wilson.
Let's have a civil tongue from you, my lad.
Civil? Ha, that's rich. After what I've been putting up with since 6 o'clock this morning.
Why, what's your complaint?
I'd been nabbed straight up. I made no trouble. I'll come along here quiet as you please. But the days of torture are over, and I won't stand for another minute of it.
Torture? What's the man raving about?
Talk sense, Snipe.
It's more than flesh and blood can stand. I tell you, it's driving me crackers. I'll complain to the Prisoner's Aid Society. Cruelty to criminals, that's what it is.
Do you think we ought to get the divisional surgeon to have a look at him, right?
Might be an idea.
Oh, what the blue blazes is that?
There it is again, the same tune all the time it goes on.
Oh, this is fantastic. Come on, let's see what's going on here.
All right, Constable. Lock that cell again.
Right, sir.
It's coming from cell number 11, sir. Down at the end.
Suffering cats, what on earth have they got in there?
We'll soon see. Funny, door's unlocked.
49! What the devil do you think you're doing?
Oh, good morning, sir. I'm practicing for the police concert. I've almost got it right, sir. Listen.
Constable, stop that hellish din at once.
Hellish, sir? Well, I couldn't find anywhere else to practice, so...
Out you go, 49.
Oh, yes, Sarge. Just going, sir. Good morning, all.
Bravo, Max. You're magnificent. With a technique like that, I wonder you bother yourself with criminal affairs.
I am Max Carousel. My music is impeccable, Sir Charles. So impeccable, it bores me.
Uh-huh.
Once a violinist has reached my standard of perfection, he seeks other interests. It is in that connection I asked you to come to my apartment this morning.
Hmm. What do you want me for this time?
Sir Charles Penrose, K.C., is considered as highly in legal circles as I am in the world of music.
Oh, you flatter me, Max.
He is also a man to whom money means more than professional integrity.
Not so flattering.
But equally true. And maintenant to business. Recently, I paid you an extremely high fee for defending a creature called a Snipe against a charge of housebreaking.
Yes, I must admit that getting Birdie Snipe off was a stroke of pure genius. No other counsel could have done it. He stole the Melton manuscript, all right. Though what he did with it, even I couldn't find out.
He bungled the job. And now he's been arrested again on another charge.
What is it this time?
The idiot bought some stolen jewelry.
And they've nabbed him for receiving?
Oui. I want you to get him off.
What, again?
It is vital.
It'll be a lot harder. It'll cost a great deal more.
How much more?
Oh, let's see. 1,500 last time. Shall we say 3,000? Plus my out-of-pocket expenses. 2,000 of it in cash.
No wonder you are a rich man, Sir Charles.
There's nothing to stop you going elsewhere, you know.
I need you in this matter. I agree the fee.
Splendid. Then you'd better tell me the facts.
Very well. You know I've made a great deal of money with my music. Concert tours, recordings, broadcasts.
Yes, that's common knowledge.
But now, as I have said, music bores me. Strangely enough, so does money. I have found a greater interest, that of the connoisseur. For instance, I have the Lungana ruby.
The Lungana ruby? But that was stolen from the Bandwa Temple in Indochina in 1940.
Exactly. It was stolen at my instructions.
Well, I'll be...
Among my other possessions is the Gainsborough Stargazer.
Cut from its frame at Tarragon Castle in 1943.
Correct. The famous Black Pearls of Yazawa, the Chaucer Diary...
Good Lord. But what's the use of them to you? You can't show them to your friends. You can't even disclose that you possess them.
It is enough that they are mine. That I, Max Carousel, possess what no other man can own.
I see. But how does all this connect with this fellow Birdie Snipe?
He was recommended to me as one who could lift the Milton manuscript. I came over from Paris to commission him to do the task, and then went back to await results. Mm-hmm. When I returned to collect the treasure, I found the idiot already in prison and charged with its theft.
But the police didn't find the manuscript on him when they arrested him.
Oh, of course not. He had already hidden it.
Well, I got him out on bail for you. You should have got the manuscript from him then.
He refused to pass it over to me until he was cleared of the charge at the Old Bailey.
A shrewd bird, eh?
While he was on bail, he took the manuscript from its hiding place. Then, like a fool, went to the greyhound races where someone picked his pocket.
Yes, I saw that in the papers. Man called Fiddler Patchett lifted Snipe's wallet, didn't he?
And, of course, you can guess what was in that wallet.
Not the manuscript.
See, the Milton manuscript. But when the police recovered the wallet, it was not there.
Don't tell me this cheap pickpocket didn't realize its value and destroyed it.
Patchett, Fiddler Patchett, as they call him, is no cheap pickpocket.
You know him?
He was a student at the Conservatoire in Paris with me over 20 years ago. A brilliant pupil who sacrificed his career to drink. He found it simpler to use his magnificent fingers for picking pockets. I chose him to help Snipe on this little job of burglary, but he got drunk and failed to turn up.
I see. So when he found the manuscript in Snipe's wallet, he knew its value?
Precisely. I have no doubt he intended to make me pay for the nose for it. Oh, but Snipe lost his head, reported his loss, and Patchett was convicted. And now Snipe says that unless I get him off, he'll tell the whole story to the police.
And with Fiddler Patchett doing time in Parkhurst, you can't get at him to find where the manuscript is.
That is the position. But Snipe tells me if I get him free, he will find some way of contacting Patchett and doing a deal.
Right. The first thing for me to do is to get Snipe bail. Then we can find out exactly how he proposes to go about contacting Patchett.
Get that manuscript back for me, Sir Charles, and I'll double your fee. Indeed, I'll treble it.
By Jove, Max, I think I'll take you up on that.
Archibald Barclay Willoughby, this is the end of a beautiful romance. Every time I come back to this flat, you're murdering that tune. No strings sounded better when they were inside the cat. I put up with it for 10 days now. Archie, you're not even listening to me.
What did you say, darling?
Briefly, that if you don't stop that vile din, I'll give you back your ring and get myself engaged to a man who plays the bagpipes or works a road drill.
But Joan, the police concert's the day after tomorrow. I simply must practice. I'm still far from perfect, you know.
Well, you're not going to practice this evening. Come on, we're going to the pictures. You'll just have time to see the main feature before you go on duty.
All right.
Well, you're not going to bring that thing with you.
Of course I am. I might get a chance of a few minutes' practice before I muster.
Well, if you must. Come on. Oh, I hope the big picture hasn't started. Come on, hurry, darling.
Now, what's he doing there?
What's who doing where?
That character on the other side of the road. Looks as if he's watching your block of flats. Let's walk across.
Well, do you know him?
Sure I know him. That's Birdie Snipe. Out on bail on a receiving charge. He fronts at the Old Bailey on Monday. Flying high, too. He's got Sir Charles Penrose, KC, defending him again.
Well, he's entitled to choose his own counsel, isn't he?
But he's not entitled to hang about in a suspicious manner outside my girlfriend's flat. Hello there, Birdie. Out of the cage again, I see.
You got nothing on me, none of you. It was a frame-up.
Time will tell, chum. Anyway, what are you loitering about here for?
I ain't loitering. I'm just resting.
Well, go and rest somewhere else.
Okay, copper. Here, What's the idea of the fiddle? You taking up music?
As a matter of fact, Bertie, I'm playing a solo at the police concert.
Go on, you don't say.
I certainly do say. I hope to knock them dead.
If they don't get in first. Hmm? Come on, Archie.
I've seen that fiddle case before somewhere. Don't it belong to Fiddler Patchett?
It did, but I acquired it at enormous cost from the fiddler's wife. So long, Bertie.
Half a minute, copper. If it's not a rude question, how much did you pay for that fiddle?
It is a rude question. I paid a fiver. Why?
I was just thinking. Poor old fiddler will be lost without his violin when he comes out of stir.
You should worry. You put him there for pinching your wallet.
Don't rub it in. I just got the needle to him. I wish I hadn't. I tell you what, copper. I'll give you 6 nickel for that fiddle here and now. £1 profit on your deal. How's that?
Nothing doing. Anyway, why are you so interested?
Well, I thought if I sent it down to Parkhurst to my old pal fiddler, they might let him play in the prison band.
They've got more than enough fiddlers in Parkhurst already. No sale, Birdie.
Well, they won't let me do my duty through my old china. It's not my fault, is it?
He's got the violin with him now, Snipe?
That's right, Mr. Carousel.
Where is he taking it, do you know?
Well, I reckon he's taking it down to the copper's flop house with him. And if you expect me to break in there and get it, you've got another thing coming. Who's that?
Oh, sir, it's only your counsel, Sir Charles Penrose.
Oh.
Hello there, Snipe. Any luck, Max?
Bad luck, mostly. Snipe got into touch with Patchett through another old lag, and for a consideration which has been deposited with his wife, Patchett disclosed the hiding place of the manuscript.
Good. Where is it?
Not so good. It's concealed inside Patchett's violin.
Well, where's the violin?
A blinking copper bought it all for Mrs. Patchett just after Fiddler went inside. I found out this copper practices every night at his girl's place, so I hung about outside her flat, hoping they'd go out so as I could bust in and snitch it.
Well, what stopped you?
He took the blinking thing with him. He's going to play it at the police concert on Thursday night.
The police concert, eh? Now, that's very interesting.
It's infuriating. Of all the people in the world who could have bought that violin, it has to be a policeman.
Wait a minute, Max. How long since you did a charity show?
I never play for nothing. Any more than you would appear in court for nothing.
However, I think it would be a very good idea for you to offer to appear at Q Division's concert.
What is this?
Cecil Wilson would leap at the chance of getting a world celebrity like you.
What's behind all this interest for the success of the police concert?
My dear Max, I'm only interested in getting hold of the Melton manuscript for you.
What's in your mind, Sir Charles?
Listen. This clod of a constable...
PC-49, he is. Archibald Berkeley Willoughby.
This amateur fiddler will be highly flattered if you offer to play a duet with him.
Vous êtes fou? Me play a duet with a gut-scraping imbecile?
Wait. If you did make the offer, you will need to rehearse with him here in this apartment.
Aha. I begin to see.
Then, before he leaves, it should be a simple matter for you to distract his attention for sufficient time to place his violin in your case and your violin in his case.
What? And let him walk out of here with my priceless Stradivarius? Oh, c'est incroyable.
Nevertheless, you'd be wise to give it some thought. It's extremely unlikely any harm would come to your violin. Why, he'd no sooner get back to his quarters before he'd realize a mistake had been made than he'd come back here, hot foot, to return your instrument and claim his own.
Ah, yes. And meanwhile, I have had a regrettable accident with his violin.
Of course. It'll only cost a few pounds to replace his shattered fiddle with a better one. He will be happy, you'll be happy with your manuscript, and I shall be extremely happy with a nice fat fee in my pocket.
Yeah, and what about me?
You will be extremely lucky if you get off that receiving charge, my friend.
You want me, Inspector?
Yes, right, old man, come in. I want you to meet Monsieur Max Carousel.
Not the famous violinist.
One of the world's greatest.
This is a privilege, sir.
Charmed to meet you, Mr...
Wright, Detective Sergeant Wright.
Now, how's this for a bit of news, Wright? Monsieur Carousel has offered his services for our police concert tomorrow night.
Really? Oh, that's grand. So we'll have two violinists on the program.
Not if I can help it, we won't.
Oh, mais oui, certainement, Inspector. I have heard of this budding genius you have. Number 49, is it not?
That's the one.
It is my suggestion. Indeed, I must insist on it. That apart from my own item, I play a duet with him.
Lord bless my soul.
49's just come off duty, sir. I saw him in the canteen a moment ago.
Then I wonder if you would be so good as to ask him to come sometime this afternoon to my suite at Aldridge's Hotel. Then perhaps we can decide upon the item we should play together.
I'll go right away, sir. 49 will be staggered by this bit of news.
Oh, and tell him not to forget to bring his instrument, Sergeant. That is most important.
Okay, sir.
Yes, I can't help feeling you'll change your mind when you hear him, Monsieur Carousel.
I say.
say, Mr. Carousel, how wizard. Gosh, you must have put in a lot of practice.
I have.
I learned from the age of 10 to 12. I've put in the last 10 days practicing solidly, but the best I can do is this.
Oh, mon Dieu. No more, please. I think we have rehearsed enough for this afternoon. I am sure with a rehearsal tomorrow morning and another in the afternoon, we shall be able to combine in an adequate performance at the concert.
Oh, gosh, wait till I tell Joan about this. Me playing with the famous Max Carousel.
I can hardly believe it myself.
Pardon, sir?
Oh, nothing. I wonder if, while I put my violin away, you will go to the phone. It is in the dining room just there and ask for service. I'd like you to join me in a drink before you leave.
Oh, certainly, sir. Right away, sir. Shan't be ready, sir.
Now then, his violin into my case and mine into his. And I hope to heaven he's careful.
Archie, you are a brute. You told me to meet you here at 5:30 and it's 6:10.
I'm sorry, darling, but wait till you hear what I've got to tell you.
Well, let's go and eat first. I'm starving. Oh, my hat. Don't tell me you're bringing that fiddle to dinner with us again.
I had to bring it. I've just been rehearsing with Max Carousel.
You've been what?
Rehearsing for tomorrow night's concert. I am playing a duet with Max Carousel.
Wake up, Copper. You're still in the land of dreams.
No, Scout's honor. He's been absolutely marvelous to me. I've been rehearsing all afternoon. Come on, darling, let's cross here.
Of all the fantastic things you've ever told me, this is the most.
He says I've got definite promise and that if I really study...
Archie, look out for that car! No! Oh, you crazy man. I thought I'd lost you for good.
Oh. Oh, look at my fiddle. Matchwood. Oh,
I knew there was some justice somewhere.
Oh, what'll I do? What'll I do?
It's no good crying over split catgut, darling. It's not even worth picking up.
Oh, but Joan, this is the most terrible thing that's ever happened to me. My fiddle. My duet with Carousel.
My foot. The whole idea was crazy anyway.
I tell you, it was true, and now I'll have to go back and tell him I can't play.
Well, I don't think he'll break his heart over it.
No, blast that car. It's put paid to my career.
If I could catch up with it, I'd kiss the driver.
Hmm?
And where are you going?
Aldridge's Hotel. To break the news to Carousel.
Oh, well. Suppose I'd better come with you.
Ah, I see you've got the fiddle, Mr. Carousel. Have you found the manuscript?
Leave that door open, Snipe. I'm expecting Sir Charles. I'd like him to witness my triumph.
Okay. You're going to pay me something for my trouble, aren't you? After all, I did overtime on this job finding out who had the fiddle.
Listen, you cheap little crook. Now I have what I want. I couldn't care what happens to you.
Well, that's a fine way to talk. What if I go to the coppers?
You won't. They'd never believe you anyway.
Now, listen here, Mr. Blinkin' Carousel. If you think you're going to leave me out in the cold, you're very much mistaken.
Third floor, Mr. Carousel's suite.
Oh, thanks. Come on, Joe.
Ankle deep in the axe, mister, eh? How the rich live.
That's his suite, just across there.
Does he always leave his door open?
Oh, how am I going to tell him? How am I going to tell him?
Archie, I've just had a horrible thought.
What?
He's bound to have more than one violin. He might even offer to lend you one of his spares.
Oh, don't be silly. His instruments are all priceless.
Quiet. Somebody arguing in there. Listen.
You wired me to pinch the Melton manuscript, which I've done.
And bundle things so completely that I was forced to pay Sir Charles Penrose an exorbitant fee to defend you.
Yeah, Penrose is as big a crook as you are.
You're wasting your time. You'll get nothing further from me, you scum. Further, I'm telling Penrose to withdraw from your defense.
Oh, you are you? And who, may I ask, got it on the grapevine from Parkhurst that the manuscript was hidden in Patchett's fiddle? That very fiddle in your end there.
You did, my friend.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid it won't do you any good. I've spent enough money on this business already. I have what I desire now. One blow against the fireplace, and this useless instrument will reveal its secret. I shall have great pleasure in destroying it. I suffered considerable agony listening to it this afternoon at the hands of that ridiculous constable. One good blow, thus... Matchwood. And now for the manuscript.
I'm afraid you won't find it there, chum.
What? Constable Barclay Willoughby. What brings you here?
Cripes, 49.
I came to tell you I wouldn't be able to play a duet with you tomorrow night.
I think you're going to find he's a far better policeman than he is a fiddler, Mr. Carousel.
I don't quite understand.
Good law. That's my fiddle you've broken. I know by those white scratches on what used to be the back.
Yes, this afternoon I made the grave mistake of putting my fiddle in your case and yours in mine. And as you see, I have had a regrettable accident.
The same applies to your fiddle, Maestro.
What is this, you say?
It got run over by a car, Mr. Carousel. Matchwood. Nothing but matchwood.
No. No. Oh, it is irreplaceable. I cannot play on any other instrument.
Don't worry, chum. You won't be playing on any instrument for a very long while. No, Snipe. Don't you try to bolt. I want you too.
Ah, just my stinking luck.
Oh, my violin, mon Dieu, my violin, my Stradivarius, my violin.
Serve your blinking well right. I said you'd got it coming to you.
Will you have another half pint, Inspector?
Oh, thanks, Wright. I think I will.
Two light ales, please.
You know, this comparing business is thirsty work. How am I doing?
Absolutely super. Concert's going fine, sir.
Oh, thanks to your stage management, right, yes. Well, let's hope I can get through the second half without making a fool of myself.
Here you are, sir.
Oh, thanks. Cheers, right?
Cheers, Inspector. By the way, PC-49's statement on the carousel job came in just as I left the office.
Oh, that.
It seems you can't keep a good man down. Hey, Inspector?
You're telling me. He finds what he takes to be an ordinary piece of paper tucked inside Fiddler Patchett's violin. He thinks it's there to muffle the tone, so he takes it out and stuffs it in his pocket.
And walks around for 10 days with the Melton manuscript actually on him.
Yes. Ah, well, I suppose we can't grumble. Snipe and Carousel have squealed on each other to such fine effect that we've got a perfect case against each of them.
And against Sir Charles Penrose, KC.
Oh, yes, he'll be implicated in the conspiracy charge, of course. Ah, there's the bell. We'd better get round to the stage, I suppose. Thank the Lord, this only happens once a year. And it is with great regret, ladies and gentlemen, that I have to announce that due to a series of most unfortunate accidents, Constable Barclay Willoughby will not be able to entertain us this evening with his violin solo. As an alternative, however, Constable Barclay Willoughby is going to give a repeat performance of the recitation which was so successful last year.
And the year before that.
The green eye of the little yellow god. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, Constable Barclay Willoughby.
My Sunday helmet.
Go on, Archie. They're waiting for you.
I know. That's what I'm afraid of.
On you go, 49.
Yes, Sarge. Just you say, Sarge. Oh, beg your pardon, sir. Good evening, all.
That concludes The Case of the Perfect Fiddle, another incident in this series of adventures of PC-49 by Alan Stranks. The cast was as follows. PC-49, Brian Reese. Joan Carr, Joy Shelton. Chief Inspector Wilson, Leslie Perrins. Sergeant Wright, Eric Phillips. Max Carousel, Derek Penley. Penrose, Lockwood West. Birdie Snipe, Sidney Vivian. PC Tom Roberts, Wilfred Carter. PC Bill Martin, Frederick Buckland. Porter, Jack Shaw. The violinist was Eugene Peeney. Production by Vernon Harris.